You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. I'd like to say hello to everybody in all the tribes of Israel throughout Europe today. And this is my first radio show, and I'm very happy to be doing it. Today, we shall learn together. Today, the blind shall see. Today, the deaf shall hear. Tomorrow, the dumb shall speak. The title of this broadcast is, Are You Blessing Vampires? I can imagine what must be going through your mind at this moment on hearing such a title. Shocking, isn't it? But often the truth is stranger than fiction, and I know that to be a fact over and over and over again. So let me ask you, are you blessing vampires, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian? Are you blessing vampires? Are you blessing God's enemies? That's a heavy-duty question. And though you may not like the outcome of what the truth is, nevertheless, the truth is the truth. And I'm going to warn you that if you are blessing God's enemies, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. Let's go to the scriptures for this particular item. 2 John chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So let me ask you a question, and this is a very important question. Do the Jews abide in the doctrine of Christ? I'm leaving a little time for you to think on that. Do the Jews abide in the doctrine of Christ? I know the answer. And of course, it's very, 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 it's very, very, very clear that they hate Yahweh the Christ, Jesus the Christ. And they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Simple as that. The answer is no. The Jews do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. So as the scripture goes on in verse 10 and 11 here, it says this. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now get the gravity of that situation, folks. Get the gravity of it. If somebody comes to you and they do not bring the doctrine of Christ, first of all, you don't receive him into your house. Second of all, you certainly don't bless him. For if you do bless him, you become partaker of his evil deeds, which means that you shall also be partaker of his judgment. Let me tell you something right now. The last thing you want to do is be partaker of the Jews' evil deeds. The deeds of the Jews through all of time since the garden and perhaps before. Well, their father was before, but the deeds of the Jews are so evil and have been piled up all the way up to the heavens and across the heavens as far as it can go. There is no end to their evil deeds. And the last thing you want to do is be a partaker of these evil deeds. So if you are blessing God's enemies, and the Jews are clearly God's enemies, then you will be partaker of their evil deeds, and you will be judged just like they are. And we all know what's going to happen to them. They are not going into eternity. They are going to be wiped completely out. Not one branch left, not one, nothing. So, are you sending money to Israel? Because if you are, you are blessing the enemies of God. That's about as clear as it gets right there. You may not like to hear that. Your pastor might have told you different, but your pastor is a liar. And many of the churches that you go to are part of the National Council of Churches, which is a communist organization, just like the world. The World Council of Churches is the higher up of that, and it's all communism. It's all blessed by the Jews. And if your church, your church probably is a 501(c) approved by the IRS church, which means that they cannot preach anything that they don't, the churches can't preach anything that the IRS or the Jews do not want them to preach. If they do, they lose their 501(c) status, which is a tax-exempt status. Therefore, what this comes down to is the Bible tells us that you cannot serve both God and mammon. So, since your church is a 501(c), it is not serving Yahweh God because it can't preach what Yahweh says, what Yahweh commands to be preached. Therefore, they are serving mammon because this is something you need to think about. This is something that's very, very important to know. You better find out if your church is 501(c) approved. Because if it is, it is contrary to Yahweh, contrary to true Israel. And, again, you will be giving Godspeed to God's enemies. Not good. Not good. Let's find out about the Jews. You've heard about it. You've heard about it all, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, you've heard a lot about. Let me tell you something about the Jews. The Jews are a race-mixed mongrel race. They've mixed with every race in the world. Let me ask you a question. Do they do this because they love all of us and they just can't get enough of us and they want to be close to us? Au contraire, mon frère. On the contrary, my brother. No, they do this out of necessity, as we shall see in this message. You see, they despise all the races and use all the races for their purposes. They pitting one race against another, lying to one race, telling them they're their enemy and that they've done them so wrong, and trying to get them to attack the other races, trying to group all the races together to attack the true Israel of the Bible. They despise all races and Yahweh God himself, and you certainly can see that by their actions. It's time for you to stop being gullible. You know, I find it, you know, quite interesting how you try to tell people the truth, and they get all crazy and defensive. They don't want to hear the truth. But when the Jew lies to them, they accept it and love it, embrace it. They don't question it. But when you tell them the truth, there's all kinds of questions and doubts and all kinds of crazy things that go on. Why is that? You know, I really can't answer that, to tell you the truth, why it is that way. It's an oddity. So, this is the way it is. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me take a sip of coffee here. Pardon me. We have been warned, we as a people, we as Israel, have been warned over and over and over again by Yahweh, by our racial brethren. The warnings are all there if you want to go find them. They're all over the place. Find out what people have, what famous men have said about the Jews. You're going to be in for a shock because you have been fooled. We all have been fooled. And it's time to knock it off. It's time to stop this madness. So we have been warned over and over again, and right now I'm going to take you to a warning from over 200 years ago, a warning given to America. Was the warning heeded? No. And it's a shame. It hurts that it wasn't heeded. Let's go to the Franklin Prophecy, recorded by Charles Coatsworth Pinckney, delegate to the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Okay, this prophecy by Benjamin Franklin was made in a chit-chat around the table during intermission at the Philadelphia Constitutional Convention of 1787. That's the warning. That's the warning date. This statement was recorded in the diary of Charles Coatsworth Pinckney, a delegate from South Carolina. Now here we'll start the words of Benjamin Franklin. Here he goes. You ready? Now I want you to pay attention to this. I don't want your mind drifting off to other places. It's time for us to learn to pay attention. And I would like to have your attention right now. I want you to pay attention to what Washington is saying. Now, these men were smart. They're a lot smarter than we are today because we've been dumbed down heavily. These men didn't have Talmud vision. They didn't have these distractions, videos and Hollywood and all that stuff to destroy their minds, to influence their minds. They knew how to think for themselves. So let me move along. I fully agree with General Washington that we must protect this young nation from an insidious influence and impenetration. The menace, gentlemen, is the Jews. You heard it right. Yes, you heard it right. Don't question it. It's true. So he continues, in whatever country Jews have settled in any great number, they have lowered its moral tone, depreciated its commercial integrity, have segregated themselves and have not been assimilated, have sneered at and tried to undermine the Christian religion upon which that nation is founded by objecting to its restrictions, have built up a state within a state, and when opposed, have tried to strangle that country to death financially, as in the case of Spain and Portugal. And you can add a lot more countries to that now, can't you? So whatever country these people have settled in, they have lowered the moral tone. Have they done that in America and across Europe? Are they not showing us filth and degradation? They depreciated the commercial integrity. How's your money doing now? They have created a state within a state. Have they done that? Of course they have. That's even done in Freemasonry. A secret society within a secret society. Have they tried to undermine the Christian religion? I mean, I don't need to answer these questions. If you can't answer these questions, you must be thick as a brick. Now, in your defense, I was fooled too, so it just takes time for you to come out of it. So he continues on here now. Let's go on. Franklin, for over 1,700 years, the Jews have been bewailing their sad fate. For over 1,700 years, their sad fate. That didn't even have the Holocaust going then. They still had and were bewailing a sad fate. Is that not interesting to you? For over 1,700 years, the Jews have been bewailing their sad fate in that they have been exiled from their homeland, as they call Palestine. But gentlemen, did the world give it to them in fee simple? They would at once find some reason for not returning. Why? Because they are vampires. And vampires do not live on vampires. They cannot live only among themselves. They must subsist on Christians and other people not of their race. Now, I hope your mind isn't drifting. I'm going to read that last sentence for you, those last two or three sentences for you, because of the importance of it. I want you to hear it again. Are you blessing vampires? Are you blessing God's enemies? He says, why? Because they are vampires, and vampires do not live on vampires. They cannot live only among themselves. They must subsist on Christians and other people, not of their race. Now, that's very, very intelligent right there. That's very astute that he would know that. You see, they came from England. They came from Europe, where the Jew had been kicked out of all those countries many, 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 many times. They weren't kicked out because they were a righteous people. They weren't kicked out because they were good people, that they were somebody that was a blessing to all nations, like the seed of Abraham is to be. They were kicked out for child ritual murder sacrifice. Go ahead, just tell me that's not true. And then you can read people in their own race that have outed them on it. There's a book by a man named, I believe his name is Arnold Leese, on that very subject. So I suggest you read it. And if you want to argue, you can argue with him about it. Of course, he's dead now. So, but, you know, you can argue with somebody else about it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. They were also kicked out for usury. As they're doing today, they're destroying everything. Everything that they lay their hands on turns to gold for them, but is cursed for everybody else. Everything. So, his warning goes on. If you do not exclude them from these United States in their Constitution, in less than 200 years, they will have swarmed here in such great numbers that they will dominate and devour the land and change our form of government, for which we Americans have shed our blood, given our lives, our substance, and jeopardized our liberty. Now, doesn't that sound what happened to America? Of course it is. This warning was not heeded. Today he would be called an anti-Semite, which is a bogus term. The true meaning of anti-Semite is anti-white. The Jews, I told you, are a mongrel race. They are a race mixed people. They are not Semitic. They are not Shemitic. We are Semitic. We are. So if you were to be anti-Semitic, that would mean that you would hate white people. I'm pausing there for a reason. So, have they swarmed here in great numbers? Yes, they have. Have they devoured the land? Yes, they have. What happened to our farms? Have they changed the form of government? Oh, yes, they have. This is called a democracy, but what a democracy really is it's the vilest form of government. You see, they control all the three parties. That's why they got rid of the monarchies. The monarchies, if you had a good king sitting on the throne and you were a Jew, you were screwed until you got rid of him. If you had a corrupt king on the throne, you had a much better chance. This is one of the reasons why they got rid of the monarchies. So, let me see. They changed the form of government. This was a republic for which it stands. You see what I'm saying? It was a republic. Now, all of a sudden, this great republic is a democracy, and it's spreading democracy throughout the world by force. The Monroe Doctrine tells us not to be involved in any of these other countries' business. It's not our business what goes on in Iraq. It's not our business what goes on in any other country. It's our business what goes on in our own country. But the Jew has superseded that. Now, we Americans have shed our blood, given our lives, our substance, and jeopardized our liberty. So we didn't exclude them. We didn't take the heed or warning. So here it is, you know. He continues with, I know I'm taking some time to go through this, but this is very important. Okay, so he continues, if you do not exclude them, the Jews, in less than 200 years, our descendants will be working in the fields to furnish them substance, while they will be in the counting houses, rubbing their hands. I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews for all time, your children will curse you in your graves. Jews, gentlemen, are Asiatics. I told you they weren't Semitic people. I told you they were race mixed. Mr. Franklin knew this. They're Turco-Mongolian. So, the Jews, gentlemen, are Asiatics. Let them be born where they will, nor how many generations they are away from Asia, they will never be otherwise. What he means by that is, the Germans, when these Jews came into their land, they did a study on them, and they found not one farmer among them. They were all merchants. They have the gift of being merchants, of bartering, because that's all they like to do. They don't like to do any work. They just want to barter and sell. They don't want to create any goods or anything. So, this movie, The Eternal Jew, will show you this. So they went to Palestine to see what the Jews were doing there. And though they were this far away from one another, they were doing the same thing. They're the same people. And I submit to you right now that it doesn't matter. If you saw them as they were then and you see them now, they're doing the same thing. So that's what he means by they will never be otherwise. They will, nor how many generations they are away from Asia, they will never be otherwise. Their ideas do not conform to an American's. And will not even thou, they live among us 10 generations. A leopard cannot change its spots. Jews are Asiatics, are a menace to this country if permitted entrance, and should be excluded by this constitutional convention. So there was the warning, a very clear warning. Benjamin Franklin, 1787, at the Constitutional Convention, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's just one warning. There's been tons and tons and tons of warnings. Let me take a sip of water here, if you don't mind. I'm a little parched. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move along to John chapter 8 as another witness to who these people are. Now, I want you to pay attention here again. I don't want you drifting away. If you can possibly learn to concentrate. We need to learn. We as a people need to learn to concentrate. We need to override our teachings from the Jew media. We need to override the brainwash and begin to move in the right direction. John chapter 8. Now listen to this. Then Jesus said to those Jews, not Israelites. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now listen, that sounds very interesting, doesn't it? It sounds like the Jew could be saved. But you see, they will not continue in his word, and he knew that very well. There's lots of people that believe Yahweh. There's lots of people that believe in Yahweh. A Satanist could believe in Yahweh. That doesn't mean that they would continue in being the disciples of Yahweh, the Christ. So then he said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, being the Jews, not Israelites. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about it deeply. You see, this proves that the Jews are not the Israelites. Just this one verse right here will tell you right away. They say that they are Abraham's seed, and why they say that is because Esau was Jacob, who became Israel's brother. But Esau became a race mixer, and he went to Edom, and he became an Edomite. He deliberately disobeyed Yahweh, deliberately disobeyed his parents, and unlike Jacob, Israel, his brother, he was not interested in things of Yahweh. He wanted to live by the sword. So they have a claim of being Abraham's seed, but they've race mixed so many times since the time of Esau that there's very little Semitic blood in them unless they have race mixed with somebody that's of the Caucasian race or somebody that is of Ishmael's race, seed line. So, they say, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, Yahweh knew right away that these were not Israelites. He knew that anyway, but you didn't know that. And, you see, I'll prove to you that the Jews are not the Israelites. Because the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. The Israelites were in bondage in Babylon. The Israelites were in bondage in Assyria. And now the Israelites are in bondage in America and Europe. These Jews said, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." My word hath no place in you. He's not talking to Israelites. He's talking to Jews. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." Pay attention. Pay attention. The Israelites' father is the same father as Yahweh, the Christ's father, Jesus Christ's father. The Israelites have the same father. But he says here, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father." That's two different fathers. Therefore, they have a different father than the Israelites. This proves Jesus was not a Jew at the same time, because, and of course I knew he was, you know, I didn't know, you know, years ago, because I heard those lies, and I probably believed them. Don't ever call Jesus a Jew. That's an insult. That's a degradation. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father." That's Jesus speaking. So that means he wasn't a Jew. He has a father, and they have a father. If he was a Jew, he wouldn't have said, "I speak that." He would have said, "I speak that which I have seen from the other father, and we do that which we see with our father." You understand what I'm saying? This proves Jesus was not a Jew. And you can read many articles on this to find out. Even Jews have written articles saying that Jesus is not a Jew. And the letters of Pontius Pilate will prove to you that he was what he looked like in the letters of Pontius Pilate. The Jews answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." You see, Abraham didn't want to kill Yahweh. Again, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication." There's a deceiving term right there, fornication. You think fornication means that you go into your neighbor's wife and be with her, and that's what fornication is. Well, fornication is race mixing. So they're lying right there, because they have race mixed. And believe me, Jesus knew they were lying. He knows who they are, and he's going to tell them about that right now, because they just lied to his face, just like their father lied to his face. When Cain was a murderer from the beginning, Cain killed Abel. And then Yahweh confronted him face to face. And he said, "Where is thy brother?" And he said, "What am I, my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is." And then he lied to the face of Yahweh, lied to the face, just like they're lying to the face of Yahweh. We be not born of fornication. They're lying right to the face of the Father in the flesh, again, just like their father did. We have one Father, even God, they say to him. See, but he knew who they were talking about. They do have one Father, even God. But he's not a God. He's a wannabe God. His name is Halel. They call him Lucifer. They have many names for him. And Cain is their father. So think about what is being said. Anytime the Jews tell you that they believe in God or anything to do with God, they're not talking about Yahweh. They're not talking. And you may find that hard to believe, but it's very simple. It really is very, very simple. You just have to learn to read between the lines. So, let me continue. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." You see, as Christians, you go out and you talk to people. And you try to tell them the truth, and they will not have it. And you might want to spend all kinds of time winning them over. I've got to get this person to believe. I have to get this person to believe. The reason they can't believe is because they are not of God. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You can't understand what I'm saying to you. You can't understand my speech because you're not of God. It's just that simple. So he continues in verse 44, and I want you to not drift now. Come on. I want you to concentrate. We're almost through this part of the message. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. Lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He just told them they have a different father. I told you that before. Their father is the devil. They're not Israelites, because the Israelites' father is Yahweh God. Their father is a different father. This father that is, now this is Yahweh speaking. Don't come to me and say, this isn't true and you don't know what you're talking about. You argue with Yahweh. See how far you're going to get with him. Don't wait to talk to him until you're dead, though. You better find out soon. Because the way this world is going, we must be closing in. You better get going. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You see what I said? I don't understand that about people. You tell them the truth and they don't believe you. The Jew lies to them, they suck it right up. So he goes on. This is the most important part right here, because here it is again. He's reconfirming everything he said. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye, speaking to the Jews, not the Israelites, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You heard it right. You heard it right. The Jews are not of God. And if you are blessing the Jews, you are blessing God's enemies. And if you are blessing the enemies of God, you will pay. The enemies of Yahweh, you will pay the price that that enemy is going to pay. And you don't want to pay that price. That's a heavy price. It's the kind of price that keeps on giving forever. Now, obviously I'm going to have to go a little later here. From the Talmud, this is five things Canaan taught his sons. Now, let's think on this for a little bit. Let's think on this. I want you to put your thinking cap on. But don't pray with your thinking cap on. This is from the Talmud, the unholy book. Five things Canaan taught his sons. Love one another. Love pillage. Love excess. Hate your masters. And never tell the truth. A nice little pause there for you to think on that for a while. Think on that for a while. What is pillage? Now, as far as them loving one another, which is number one, they really hate everybody, but they're working together to destroy all of us. And they want to destroy Yahweh too. I can promise you that. So they love one another to the point of working together. If they were alone on the planet, they'd devour one another. Okay, pillage. Love pillage. I really didn't know, you know, I knew kind of what the word means, but let's look up the definition of pillage. You'll find this quite interesting. Rob a place using violence, especially in wartime. The action of pillaging a place or property, especially in wartime. Synonyms: robbery, robbing, raiding, plunder, looting, sacking, rape, marauding. The rebels were intent on pillage. How do you like that? Love that, their father, Canaan, told them. Love excess. Do the Jews love excess? Well, I can certainly see, you know, they have a great scam going for themselves across the world, but they just can't seem to leave it there. It's not enough there. They haven't stolen every property and every dime and every nickel and every shekel and everything. You see, they have all kinds of money that they don't need in bank accounts yet. They love excess. They want more, 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 more. It can never be enough. The death of the Caucasian race, there can never be enough. 2/3 of us gone already. There can never be enough. Love excess. Number 4, hate your masters. Well, we were their masters. We kept them in the streets locked down. And that's when the world was a much better place. Since Napoleon let them out, we've headed for the heaviest troubles that we've ever been in. And here we are today. And number 5 again, I'm going to remind you, they tell them to never tell the truth. Does Yahweh tell you to love one another? Yes, he does. Does he tell you to love pillage? No, absolutely the opposite. Does he tell you to love excess? No, the opposite. Does he tell you to hate your masters? No, the opposite. And does he say to you that you should never tell the truth? No. Therefore, these are two different fathers. These are two different ideologies. Oh, my God. It's just, it's pathetic. It really is. You know, we've got to stop being so gullible. So, that's the first witness, first two witnesses. And I'm going to bring you to another one, and this is the heaviest thing that you're going to ever hear. I want you to remember that Ben Franklin called them vampires and Asiatics. Okay, this is from a book called The Mystery of the Serpent. Extremely important. I'm not going to read the whole book for you, obviously. I'm going to read select points. But this man was looking for the truth. He was bent on a search for the truth. He asked the Catholic priests and all these different people what was going on. He joined the service. They didn't want to answer his questions properly, like they never do anyway. So he had to go and find out for himself. So I'm going to move along here to this point. Okay, here we are in the book. Here's what he says. The Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people are the house of Israel as God's kingdom. The people we know as Jews are the kingdom of the devil, and he has always been their king. Remember, they said they had no king but Caesar, and that should tell you, why would they say it? The Jews said that, not the Israelites. We have no king but Caesar. Now, there's something that should tell you something. They should have said, we have no king but Yahweh, if Yahweh were their father. But obviously, Yahweh is not their father. I mean, this is just, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. Come on, snap out of it. So the people we know as Jews are the kingdom of the devil, and he has always been their king. Since time immemorial, they have been known in Asia, Asia, as the serpent race. There are three branches of this race, the Ashkenazim Khazar, and Sephardic Jews in Christendom, and the Black Zuzus in Asia. They are proud of being satanic because they say it makes them a race of God-men. Does that sound familiar to you? They hate God and man. Yet for expediency, Jews in Christendom pretend to worship Yahweh and love man. In all ages, they have been sponsors and financiers of all wars. They promote republican principles, yet they themselves have no use for them, because communism is their religion. However, they make use of our freedom, liberty, and constitution for a screen behind which to hide, while undermining our church and state and all law and order in Asia and Africa. Their system of boycotting, this should sound familiar, Germany, remember Germany now. Their system of boycotting, sabotaging, ransacking, and destruction is known as the serpent system, which is so enormous, silent, and sinister. The average person in Anglo-Saxondom does not know it exists. The serpent system is the practical application of the Luciferian doctrine. It is entirely oriental and occult. It is sponsored and directed by Satan as the uncrowned senior king of the Jews and his 12-member cabinet, whose capital for 4 centuries was the forbidden city of Lhasa, Tibet. Yet since 1950, Tel Aviv, Palestine has been the capital, and Moscow, London, and New York City are the lesser capitals, screening Tel Aviv from public view. Under the King of the Jews is one roving ambassador and two princes who direct the international government of the devil, consisting of 1,922,627 Jews, equally divided between the eastern and western hemispheres. Don't drift away. Don't touch that dial. Okay, to use their words. The religion of the serpent race is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-man. Communistic Satanism. The movement is spiritual and material. The former sponsors and partially finances all Oriental occultism in Christendom. And the thing going under the name of scientific Christianity in order to deliberately break down and destroy all faith in and the worship of God. The material portion of the system sponsors all un-American activities, anarchistic Bolshevism, Fabianism, and socialistic communism. Behind the two branches stands Satan, who today, I want you to pay attention to this now, listen to this now, just as the Christ, Yahweh the Christ, came in a flesh body. The devil has been present upon the earth in the third dimension in a flesh body. Since before the garden, and is today, I'm sure. I want you to listen to this very carefully. The material portion of the system sponsors all un-American activities, anarchism, Bolshevism, Fabianism, and socialistic communism. Behind the two branches stands Satan, who today is the Turco-Mongol Jew, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, whose temporary residence is Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore, Maryland, United States of America. He was brought here from Moscow, Russia, by Jew Owen Lattimore and Jewry Supreme Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith in New York City, proclaimed him as Jewry's God in 1950. That devil's power reaches out through B'nai B'rith to clutch the throat of every government in the world. He is the current unseen hand. And Jews Bernard Manus Baruch, Felix Frankfurter, Henry Morgenthau Jr., and U.S. Senator Herbert H. Lehman are the power in that satanic hand in America. You'll remember those names from the Federal Reserve. You'll remember those names from the time the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913. Also, the IRS Act was passed that year. And also, the ADL was created that year, 1913. Think about that for a minute. And what I'll tell you is this. They expected that 40 years later, that they would have their new world order in. It did not happen because Yahweh must have made sure it didn't happen. Obviously, they're closer today than they ever have been, but it's still not quite all the way there. They've just about got it. So remember those names, you see. You need to put on your Jew radar. I call it Jewdar. You need to find out, pay attention to the names that are speaking in our world today and that have spoken yesterday and that will speak tomorrow. You need to pay attention. They change their names to fool you as well. and there are crypto Jews. So but you've got to pay attention. You've got to do a little research for yourself. You've got to study to show yourself approved. So, prior to being transferred to the United States Asiatic Fleet, this is him talking about himself right now, I did not pay much attention to civilian thought. Returning home, however, I saw a people, totally strangers, and even though they were my kindred countrymen, the change was as drastic as though one were to walk out in the bright sunlight from a dark room. Yet the average person did not, or does he today, seem to notice any change. While reflecting on the condition, I observed the change was taking place prior to 1931. Yet I had been closer to civilian thought than I realized, because I was part of our national mind and did not observe the gradual transformation. The devil, one of the greatest tools the devil has is gradualism. Let me tell you how that works. I have bird feeders, and the cat is one of my favorite hunters, because when you watch it hunt, you begin to laugh. What it does is it knows its prey is there, so it crouches down real low and stealthy-like on the ground, and it puts its hind legs up on tippy-toes, and it moves inch by inch toward the bird feeders, toward where the birds are feeding. Now, the birds don't see any great change. That's what usually alarms them, something that's moving fast, something, a hawk that might be flying right through the bushes to get one of them. This cat is stealthy, and it's moving inch by inch, and there's not much of a change that the bird sees. Finally, he gets way up on his tippy toe and springs and catches the prey and walks across the yard with the prey in his mouth. This is how the devil does it. Through gradualism. If he was to move too fast, like they are today, because they've made a great mistake with 9/11. This was a great mistake of the Jew. They usually, through all the centuries, they went methodically slow, inch by inch, passing laws before they even enforced the laws. But now they're moving so fast that they're making all kinds of mistakes, because they're really not as intelligent as they would have you to believe they are. Cheaters. Liars. So, he noticed that everything was changing. When he came back from the service, he came back to America, and he was blown away at the change. But the people hadn't noticed anything changed. They hadn't noticed. So home again, however, I knew the change was produced and is perpetuated by the insidious pressure of the serpent system. In complete control of the very heartbeat of America through our press, radio, recorded music, television, and motion pictures. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Which move our people, all those mediums, all the press, the radio, recorded music, television, and motion pictures, which move our people in one direction, then another, in vast surging tidal waves of emotion. Emotion. The devil exploits, and his children always use emotion. The Holocaust is pure emotion. It's supposed to evoke the crying in you. Emotion is how most things are done. The Nazis were killing babies. What happened in Iraq? They were throwing the babies off the incubators onto the floor. Emotion. Especially you women are susceptible to these things. And this is a problem. And you have to realize that, women. Don't take it as it's a bad thing. It's good that you have feelings and stuff, but you need to have the feelings placed in the right places and not allow your feelings to be exploited. So, all these motion pictures, which move our people in one direction, then another, in vast surging tidal waves of emotion, in a deliberate plot to ruthlessly debilitate our national mind, so we will not contemplate the gradual undermining of church and state, and even our personal lives. It is war to destroy the white race, a war waged by the serpent race for the pure love of evilness. I made this investigation and discovered the serpent race was dominating the field of religion through the Federal Council of Churches of Christ and the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Why would Christians and Jews, they don't belong together any more than Jews and Israelites belong together. Clergymen by the thousands were spewing forth modernism, tolerance. Now notice that word tolerance right there is a communist word. You see, you're supposed to have tolerance for all kinds of evil, but we will not tolerate your truth. You're supposed to tolerate and give rights to all kinds of degenerates. But let us not tolerate, the words of Bush, let us not tolerate the conspiracy theorists. But you can tolerate everything else. Think about that for a little while. All right, so tolerance for anti-Christian methods. Mongrelization. These preachers, these clergymen, by the thousands were spewing forth modernism. Tolerance for anti-Christian methods. Mongrelization. And internationalism instead of Christ. The scriptures. The glorious plan of spiritual salvation. The preservation of our rugged white mental and spiritual superiority and initiative. And our love of our nation. To my dismay, I discovered new fair idealism had undermined the very foundation of our great republic. Remember, see, our republic, not democracy. Our republic, the Constitution of the United States of America. I found political corruption had extended its slimy tentacles from the White House to the small villages and farms so as to deliberately destroy all moral and spiritual values. Remember what Ben Franklin said, that they brought them the level of morality down? I was appalled at the discovery of sex degenerates employed in our national capital. I found treason excused. Does this sound familiar? Betrayal of our nation condoned by the president and his administration. The armed forces sabotaged. Our national resources deliberately wasted and erroneous, unconstitutional, onerous unconstitutional taxes consuming the fruit of all endeavor and labor. I found the colored minority sullen. Does this sound familiar too? I found the colored minority sullen, rebellious, and in the state of turmoil. The great white majority perplexed and confused. Neither one proud of its race and heritage, and the barriers let down for the destruction of all. Okay, I've got to move along here. In biblical prophecy, the number 44 signifies the beast of lies. He is Satan. Accordingly, after 44 years of lying about the book, the plot of the Jews, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, being a non-Jew forgery, the leaders of Jewry in America, pay attention now, on the night, the leaders of Jewry in America, on the night of 5 February 1949, doing what they always do, bragged to what they supposed to have been an all-Jewish audience in the Shriners Auditorium, Los Angeles, California, that the protocols are authentically the blueprint of the world conquest by the serpent race of Jews. The protocols are Jewry's own property, and the conspiracy against God and man in them is an accomplished fact, except to collapse America's economy and finances, then seize the government and destroy the independence of this nation. Yet they declared this would be accomplished before the end of 1953, as I've told you. It's time we stood up to be counted. In the very first paragraph of Protocol 3, the leaders of Jewry admit Jewry is the serpent race of Satan. We observe that the reptilian race in the third chapter of Genesis in our Bible, in the Hindu scriptures, he is called Shisha, which is pronounced Shaitan, Satan. He is symbolized as being a 12-headed cobra. Actually, the heads are 12 high-degree B'nai B'rith Jews as the cabinet of the King of the Jews. That king today is the Asiatic Turco-Mongol Jew, as I told you before, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha. He is the brains of Shaitan the serpent. A portion of his teeth and claws are the members of the Anti-Defamation League, which is an unconstitutional Gestapo organized in the United States in 1913 by Jewry's exclusive Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith, so as to force out of circulation any truth remotely connecting the word Jew with the world conspiracy against God and man. And also to prevent, as far as possible, the truth being published about the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people being the House of Israel as God's kingdom in the material plane. The axis of Shaitan's spinal column are two princes of the Jews and one roving ambassador who answer to no one but the King of Jews. Shaitan has 7 vertebrae in his backbone. His spinal cord has 1,000 nerve fibers. They are the Luciferian priesthood known in Christendom as the Learned Elders of Zion. They are equally divided between the Western and Eastern hemispheres. His nerve system is a 7x7 super-secret organization known as the Kahilla. C-A-H-I-L-L-A, the Kahilla. You've heard of it, I'm sure. The vertebrae in his backbone are 7 offices from which emanate the nerve system consisting of 7 ministers under 7 arc senses. 7 times 7 is 49 ministers. Under each minister are 7 heralds. 7 times 49 equals 343 heralds. Under each herald are 7 couriers. 7 times 343 is 2,401 couriers. Under each courier are 7 scribes. These could be newspaper men. These could be whatever you want to call them. 7 times 2401 equals 16,807 scribes. They write magazine articles. They write Bibles. They change the Bibles, etc. The scribes. Under each scribe are 7 auditors, probably to check on these scribes to make sure that they're not getting away with anything or betraying them. 7 times 16,807 equals 117,649 auditors. Under each auditor are 7 mutes. 7 times 117,649 equals 823,543 mutes. With the 500 Luciferian priests, the arc censors, the king and the prince, there are 961,301 Jews in the each hemispherical Kahilla section. So there are 961,301 Jews in each hemispherical Kahilla section. Adding the 24 B'nai B'rith Jews into the 2 cabinets of the king and his co-regent and the roving ambassador, there are 1,922,627 Jews in the hemispherical brains and nerve system of Shaitan the serpent. That cabal and the Jewish race are the brains, nerve system, teeth, claws, backbone and body of Satan in the material plane, and their collective evilness is the devil and his demons in the spiritual plane. Whew, I tell you, that's something else, boy. That is the talking snake who spiritually sabotaged our Adamic progenitors. It is a race of material vampires. Another witness. Don't forget Ben Franklin. He called them a race of vampires. It is a race of material vampires. It is a counterfeit race of devils, not created by God. It is on display as such in Job 26:5, Psalm 88:10, Proverbs 2:18, 9:18, 21:6, Isaiah 14:9, and 26:9, in which the original Hebraic for the word dead is Rephaim, which means the shades of spiritual and material death. Jude 12 says they are twice dead, spiritually and materially, plucked up by the roots. Then Mark 4:11, 12, 15, Luke 11:44, John 7:33, 34, John 8:43-47, as I read to you, John 9:27, Acts 2:47, Hebrews 13:20, and 2 Peter 2:4-12 show they are born spiritually dead from the womb. God put in man a certain genealogical power to cause the marrow of the bones to generate blood for the life of the flesh, Leviticus 17:11. Jewry lacks that power. He steals it from man. However, in mongrelization, see, that's how he steals that power. He does not have the same blood as the Israelite or as any of the other races. So they don't have the marrow in the bones to generate blood for the life of flesh. Jewry lacks that power. He steals it from man, however, in mongrelization. The satanic dyed vampire is manifest in what we have believed was Jewry's white blood corpuscles. In man, in Israel, the white man, they are round, yet shaped differently for each race. That is one reason God established a divine law for various races not to mongrelize. In Jewry, however, the white blood corpuscles are long and stringy, and divine law forbids all humanity to mongrelize with the devil's serpent race, because the children will be in turn vampire and totally cut off from God, from Yahweh. Hope you're listening. In times past, the serpent race absorbed entire nations in order to renew the life force in their bone marrow. Ezekiel 28:12-19. Isaiah 49:26 show the vampire condition. The latter states, "And I Yahweh, will feed them that oppress thee, Israel, with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all the flesh shall know that I am Yahweh and thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Isaiah makes it plain that he is speaking about the counterfeit race of Satan, who we know as the Jews, in Isaiah 14:29, Isaiah 27:1, and Isaiah 65:25. He mentions them as the serpent, which is written in the Hebraic to mean the counterfeit race of the original material beast, who we know as Satan. The same as the father of the Luciferian beast in Ezekiel 28. In Isaiah 49:26, the word feed is akal in the original Hebraic. It means to consume away. If Isaiah had meant the serpent race would turn cannibal and feed on itself, the word feed would have been nahal. If they were thrown into jail, as in Revelation 20, and given Jew flesh to eat, when they asked for food and said, "Feed me," the word would have been last. If they could feed themselves and they were given Jew flesh or any proper nourishment, the word feed would have been kul, K-U-L. Isaiah, therefore, graphically shows when Zechariah 14:21 and Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, are consummated, the serpent race of Jews will be isolated from humanity, and faculty of Jewry's bones to produce blood corpuscles will gradually be lost until the race will stagger from weakness and will gradually consume the race. And praise Yahweh for that. That's going to be a great day for all of Israel, the true Israel. Mongrelization with man is essential so Jewry can renew the depleted life force. Extensive mongrelization can change the outward appearance so much that the Jewish characteristics are difficult, if not impossible, to perceive. When that occurs, Satan is about to transform himself into a human automatically possessing the life force of God. Divine law intervenes, and the next generation reverts back with all the physical characteristics known as Jewish, and the line of Satan is entirely sterile. The vampire condition is in three categories, and they are spiritual and material. The first phase is as above. Secondly, the instinctive craving to murder man spiritually. It is accomplished by subtle suggestions, which causes man to think erroneously, which generates a destructive electrocosmic field of oscillatory disequilibrium in his brain cavity, which thrusts him out of the conscious contact with God and spiritually kills him. That field can be measured with electronic instruments. Scientists know it is directly the presence of that field which makes man's body deteriorate and eventually die of old age. Jewry is greedy to shed man's blood in murder and wars. John 8:44, Matthew 23:35. The third phase of the vampire condition is the stealthy approach unto man on his snake belly of sham worship of God, and believing and being the chosen people of God, drawing near an intended victim amidst the darkness of misrepresented brotherhood, liberalism, equality, and fraternity. He hypnotizes the victim with a flickering, spiritually black forked tongue of exaggerated friendliness and humane feeling. And by the time he is in striking distance, the victim is mentally paralyzed in respect to Jew chicanery. Then, without any resistance, the serpent swallows the victim by first marrying into his family, then absorbs it into mongrelization in an effort to steal the life force put in it by God. Racial characteristics of man are ignored by the serpent race. All it is interested in stealing the life force put in man by God. While doing it, he steals every important thing man creates. The prophet Ezekiel calls that characteristics a cormorant. That's a bird, by the way, because there was no Hebraic word for a vampire bat. Now, a cormorant, when you look that up, it means greedy. That doesn't characterize that race, does it? While preying on man, that vampire race utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist, elevate him to the zenith of spiritual entertainment. 2 Peter 2:11, 12 throws light on the condition when he says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, because these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." The original Greek for that word is natural. The original Greek for that word natural is phusikos. How can I say it? Phusikos. Okay, that's Greek. It's Greek to me. It means things born in one. Brute is allogos, or without life. Beast is zoon, a living creature. Made is geneo, or conceive, bring forth in childbirth. Take is halosin, or with a view to capture. Destroyed is isfloran, or corrupt. Perish is katapthero, or to corrupt utterly. Thus the original declaration of Peter is, these living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Folks, come on. That is absolutely stunning. Let me read it again. I hope you didn't drift on me again. Thus the original declaration of Peter is, these living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Peter and Jude graphically show that they are speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about the same conditions. Jude 9 shows the angel in Michael, and the brute beast is the devil, who, according to the personal family recorded in Jewry's cousin, Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent prince Nahar. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the third chapter of Genesis. The word serpent in that chapter is nakash in the original Hebraic. There are three ways of composing the word nakash. The root is composed with three characters, the first of which is shaped similar to a round bottom W with a dot above it and a right hand arm. The second is similar to the pi ratio sign. The third is a very poor figure, 3, written thus. It means divine, learn by experience. Observe diligently, use enchantment, an enchanter. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second and third characters, it means occult science, witchcraft, black magic. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race, fathered by the original material Satan. And the race is the racial body of Satan in similar manner as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic people are the racial body of Israel. The serpent in Genesis 3 is written with the bars and dots under and the two last characters to prove he is Satan's cursed serpent race of Jews. And the word Jew is Yehudim in the Hebraic, Aramaic, and Greek, which means the race cursed by God. Now, I know that was a mouthful for you, and you probably should listen to this message, and you probably should download this book. This man and his family were killed for revealing this information back in, I think it was 60 or 61. They killed him. His name is B.F. Jackson. The name of the book? The Mystery of the Serpent. I highly suggest that you've heard testimonies from the Founding Fathers that these people are who they are. You've heard testimonies from Jesus, Yahweh the Christ, who they are. You've heard testimonies from another man who they are. How much more do you need to know? Are you blessing vampires? Are you blessing vampires? Are you blessing God's enemies? I certainly hope not. And if you were doing that, the first thing you need to do is stop doing that. It's time for all of Israel to begin to awaken. It's time for you to turn off your television and turn that television into an education station. Plenty of education is available. You need to find out about Yahweh. Who is Yahweh, you're saying? Some of you are saying, I've never heard this. What is this? Well, I'll tell you who. His name is Yahweh. The name Yahweh was taken out of the Bible, or actually the scriptures, and it was taken out around 6,800 times. And it was done by, just guess who might have wanted to take that name out so you wouldn't know it. So you wouldn't be able to pray in his name and have success in prayer. So you wouldn't be able to call on his name. Take a guess who took the name out. Well, my friends, it was the rabbis. These same people who we're talking about right here. They said that the name was too holy to utter. So they removed it and they replaced it with the words God and Lord. Now, just as a nice little caveat, or a nice little, I shouldn't say caveat, but you've been calling the Father. We all had been calling. I got rid of it. We had been calling him Lord. Lord just so happens to mean Baal. Lord can mean master as well. But if you check it out, you'll find out. Look in your concordances and look up the word Lord. Don't call Yahweh Lord anymore. Don't use that word anymore. He's not Baal. You don't want somebody to call you a name that you're not. So Yahweh's name was removed. It's not Jehovah. There was no V. And so therefore, make a start today. Find out about this serpent. Find out if I'm telling you the truth. You can't just believe everything somebody tells you, although I just gave you all kinds of hints and all kinds of proof. It's time for us to solidify. It's time for 2/3 of our race have been wiped off the planet by Jewry. Within 100 years, we could all be gone. Of course, Yahweh won't let that happen. But it's time for us to do something about that, too. I love you. I love all the tribes. And I want you to be successful with Yahweh. It's time to smarten up. This is David James. And you're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. May Yahweh richly bless you. Don't call him Lord anymore. He's not Baal. Thank you. And thank you for listening. I hope to speak to you again next week on Saxon's Creed Radio Show.